John's Gospel, and we're going to read in chapter 1, verses 19 to 34. The passage is about the identity of the Lord Jesus and also the identity of John the Baptist. And our theme today, within the theme of handing on, passing on the eternal flame, is in fact that of identity. The Jewish authorities in Jerusalem sent some priests and Levites to John to ask him, "Who are you?" John did not refuse to answer, but spoke out openly and clearly, saying, "I am not the Messiah." "Who are you then?" they asked. "Are you Elijah?" "No, I am not," John answered. "Are you the prophet?" they asked. "No," he replied. "Then tell us who you are," they said. "We have to take an answer back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John answered by quoting the prophet Isaiah. "I am the voice of someone shouting in the desert, 'Make a straight path for the Lord to travel.'" The messengers who had been sent by the Pharisees then asked John, "If you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet, why do you baptize?" John answered, "I baptize with water, but among you stands the one you do not know. He is coming after me, but I am not good enough even to untie his sandals." All this happened in Bethany, in the east side of the River Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, "There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'A man is coming after me, but he is greater than I am because he existed before I was born.' I did not know who he would be, but I came baptizing with water in order to make him known to the people of Israel." And John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and stay on him. I still did not know that he was the one, but God, who sent me to baptize with water, had said to me, 'You will see the Spirit come down and stay on a man. He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' 'I have seen it,' said John, 'and I tell you that he is the Son of God.'" Thank you. And if we can have the PowerPoint, Jim, that'd be great. We're thinking this year, for reasons that are obvious, about handing on the eternal flame. And we've spent the first 2 weeks of the year laying the foundation, in a way, for this year of outreach. Every year, every day is a day, a year of outreach. But this is a particular year for the reasons that Jeff has enumerated before us, because of this wonderful opportunity of people from locally, different parts of the UK and all the nations of the world, coming in to be in this part of East London. And John tells the story in his gospel and in his epistles that, having met and worked with and got to know Jesus of Nazareth — this is John the disciple — he is utterly convinced that Jesus is the light of the world, the eternal word or logos that existed from the very beginning. Jesus himself is the eternal flame that we are to hand on to others. He himself is the message. It is him we pass on. Jesus is not just the Christ of the Jews, but the eternal flame who has never been extinguished. And we've thought about shouting out statements of truth today, and remembering statements of truth. And this is our memory verse. If the children can learn, we've still got enough grey cells left. Let's read this together. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out." Where does it come from? John 1:5. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out." And I hope that that verse is going to stay with us through this year. And when we begin to get to the point, like I already have done, where you start to forget the things you learned earlier, that God's word will stay here. And we're thinking, as I've said to you today, about identity. And particularly about knowing who Jesus is, and also knowing our own identity and purpose. That is very, very important to us, that we understand our own identity and our purpose. And it is the reason in every generation why people are described as lost, because often there is just that lack of knowledge of identity. Terry, there are people in the vestibule, if you could just see how they are. Okay. John the Baptist came to tell people about the light so that they should hear the message and believe. He himself is not the light. He is not the light. Now, how is our own identity established? Well, our identity is established largely through our family and other relationships we have, particularly in the early and formative years. Of course, it's further developed. Our identity isn't a fixed thing. It goes on through life, through our friends, through our workplace, our colleagues. Our identity is formed. It's also formed by where we are raised and who grows up around us. I am convinced as a Christian that it's an essential belief that because we are human beings, that is, people made in the image of God, that our identity also comes from our relationship with God. Our purpose in life comes from discovering our identity and relationship with God, hence the term lost. If people are not in relationship with God, they really are not sure of their own identity. Now, some people think identity and confidence comes with fame and status, but you have only to look at the famous and those with positions of power to see that identity and confidence does not necessarily come with fame and status. That people who are successful and powerful still are not sure of their identity. So people like Amy Winehouse and other people like that have fame, have power through money, but are often not sure of their own identity, do not have a confidence by which to live. So it is not just those who don't succeed in human terms that lack identity. It's many, many people. This week, as you know, some of you prayed for me, I was down speaking near Canary Wharf on the St. Peter's barge, the floating church down there on the island. A crucial role with thousands upon thousands of people pouring into the shopping complex and offices there. And there was a whole load of counselling material on the side, and I was trying to get to grips with what the church was doing there, and they have two lunchtime meetings for people in the offices. They run a small church on the Sunday. But the books I saw showed that the same problems that everybody has in different parts of the world are obviously, I thought, this is good. They're catering for people that are coming in who feel they've got an identity crisis. Maybe they've lost a child. And maybe they're depressed, and these materials. And I said to the person, oh, that's interesting. Are you getting people coming in looking for help because they are going through real difficulties? And the person said, oh, really, that really shouldn't be too much on public display because we don't want to encourage the view that this is a church of failures. And I thought, well, I thought the church was for people who know that we failed and that we go to God for help, and it is in God we find our healing, our salvation, our recovery and our identity. I presume he felt, well, if people are in Canary Wharf and making pots of money, they don't want to go to a church which they think is for failures because we're all successes. But we're not, are we? We can earn all the money in the world but not be sure of identity and our purpose. Knowing who Jesus is and also knowing our identity and purpose is very important in the whole story that's revealed in the Bible. We said that our identity is established through our family and relationships and people we meet and where we grow up, but it is not just established in that way. John the Baptist is given both a name and a role. He was the John who baptized with water. They come together. John would have known that he was the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Both were from priestly families. It wasn't just that Zechariah was a priest. They both came from families that had been serving the Lord, worshipping the Lord, knowing the scriptures, knowing the prophecies. It was into that family that John was born. Because they were elderly parents and just had one child, he would have been cherished as the precious child. His task and purpose, though, would have been explained to him by his parents, who had been told by the angel Gabriel, who stands in the very presence of God, what their child came to do. Must be a bit of a shock to parents to be actually told that. But if you read in Luke's Gospel, you will see what the angel Gabriel said to these parents about their child. I'm just reading a few verses. An angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right of the altar where the incense was burned. When Zechariah saw him, he was alarmed and felt afraid. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You are to name him John. How glad and happy you will be, and how happy many others will be when he is born. He will be a great man in the Lord's sight. He must not drink any wine or strong drink. From his very birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go ahead of the Lord, strong and mighty, like the prophet Elijah." And so it goes on. They were told who their son was to be and what he was to do. John fulfilled his purpose of getting the people ready for the Lord God's Messiah. He was prepared, I believe, by his parents for this. They knew the prophecies, not just of Isaiah, but the prophecies of other witnesses for God. And they knew about the man that was to be the voice of one crying out. They would have taught him these prophecies and taught him to pray and to hear the voice of God, to expect angelic visitations and to expect many things. He was to be a prophet, strong and mighty, like Elijah. If you read on in Luke's Gospel, you see other references, just a few verses from Luke chapter 3, verses 3-9, says this. "So John went throughout the whole territory of the river Jordan preaching, 'Turn away from your sins and be baptized, and God will forgive your sins.' As it is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, 'Someone is shouting,'" yes, there is shouting in the Bible, "'Someone is shouting in the desert, get the road ready for the Lord, make a straight path for him to travel. Every valley must be filled up, every hill and mountain leveled off. The winding roads must be made straight and the rough paths made smooth. The whole human race will see God's salvation.' Crowds of people came out to John to be baptized by him." "You snakes." That was welcoming, wasn't it? "You snakes," he said to them, "who told you that you could escape from the punishment of God that God is about to send? Do those things that will show that you have turned from your sins, and don't start saying among yourselves that Abraham is your ancestor. I tell you that God can take these stones and make descendants for Abraham. The axe is ready to cut down the trees at the roots." John the Baptist's identity and purpose grew beyond that of being the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah. And you and I need to grow beyond the identity that comes from our small, localized family. Our identity does partially come from our families, but it mustn't limit us. And we've seen too many people that are limited in what they achieve for God because of all the baggage that we carry from our families. We are individuals touched by the Spirit of God. Yes, our identity comes from those that have raised us and shown us love and care, but it is much, much more than that. And we want our children, don't we, and our grandchildren, nieces and nephews, to go beyond just the fact that they were born into our families. We want them to discover their identity and their purpose in life. John was a prophet, a preacher, a baptizer, and he didn't have an easy job. I think that we would admit that. John's purpose was to call the people back to God, to live differently. If you like, he called the people to spiritual revival, to point out someone much greater than himself. Although John's identity was tied into that of Jesus, he knew that his own importance must decrease as the profile of Jesus grew. And that surely is our longing as well. He must become more important while I become less important. It says in a very good translation of John 3, verse 30. That longing that Jesus' importance would grow in life. And surely that's our calling, isn't it? That's our calling, isn't it? To see the importance, the profile of Jesus grow and grow. And that will mean, that principle, that we must shrink. The Jewish authorities, it seems it was the Pharisees from amongst the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, sent some priests and Levites to find out from John his identity. They just weren't sure. What was this new phenomena? This man that was moving along the Jordan, calling people to change their ways and to be baptized. And John was very clear and straightforward. He said, I am not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the one we are really all waiting for. And very simple fact, the fact of knowing who we are not will help us accept the identity that we have. And that can be another problem for people generally, but also for some Christians that would like to have other gifts or be different things and be in certain situations. And there's almost sometimes an envy of other people. We need to be very clear who we are not so that we might be confident in who God has made us is really important. Well, who are you? If you're not the Christ, who are you calling all these people? I am the voice. It's almost uncanny, isn't it? I am the voice. I don't rush on to the next statement. I am the voice. Who are you? I am the voice. John denied being Elijah, and he denied being the prophet. He says, I am the voice. Now, the tradition was from various scriptures that Elijah or one like Elijah would come before the Messiah. And that's what they were looking for. It didn't have to be Elijah reborn or Elijah just coming down and appearing again, but maybe one like Elijah, a prophet that had cried out and was strong. And they were expecting, he said, well, I'm neither Elijah or whatever you expect to come as the prophet, but I am the voice. And John is really saying, I am the embodiment of all the prophetic voices that have cried out, all those who have been sent by God as witnesses. I am the voice calling human beings to repentance. I am like the voice that was heard from the wilderness, where many prophets came from the place of solitude and reflection and spending time in prayer and time with God and hearing what God is saying. I am the voice. I am speaking out as the voice of God, the voice of Isaiah and all the prophets that have come to Israel and people have listened to for a time. Well, I am that voice. And I am saying we need to put things right. If there's a hill that stops Jesus traveling, level it to the road. If there's a great hole in the road, then make it straight. Whatever needs to be done to be ready for Jesus to come in to your lives, then do it. Whatever you can do, whatever is needed. And in a way, all of our preparations leading into times of outreach, which include the Olympics, there are many things, is a making level the road, a getting ready so that Jesus may have a smooth and a straight passage into our lives, into other people's lives. We are to do all that is possible so that people may receive the Christ. And so John says, get your lives sorted out. He's coming. Put things right. And he starts giving them practical advice about what that meant to live justly and fairly. He is a witness. John is a witness. And if you read in John chapter 1, verse 19, he says, "This is the witness of John." Sorry, it's done it again, Jim. I can hear, see it bleeping that it's taking me. "This is the Lamb of God," says John, "who takes away the sin of the world." We could preach a whole sermon on that, all right? "This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Thank you. "He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." So the eternal flame, he's the one that becomes the eternal flame that touches you and refines you and enables you and empowers you. Again, there will be talks on that. "He is the Son of God." Thank you. Now that can be used generally, like we're all sons and daughters of God. But he's using this in the direct way. He's saying, "This is the one that the Father has sent." Thank you. "I baptize with water," he says, "but someone is coming who's much greater than I am. I am not good enough even to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Thank you. And we're told in Luke chapter 3 and verse 18 that in many different ways John preached the good news to the people and urged them to change their ways. And that is something that the church in every generation needs to learn to do. In many different ways to declare the message, the good news of Jesus, and urge people to change their ways. If the old ways don't work, then let us use different ways. If a multimedia presentation works rather than a person standing on a street corner, then that is what we use. All right? Many different ways. Luke 3:18. We're told that John evangelized the people. He told them the good news. And this included reprimanding various people. So he pointed out Herod and he said, "Look, you have married the wife of your brother while your brother is still alive." And that put fear into that household. But it ultimately meant the death of John. All right? But he did that. John is an example of a clear witness. "I am the voice." He knew the scriptures. What can we learn from him so that we, as we said last week, can be clear witnesses in our everyday life, our ordinary life? We are the means by which others can be contacted. What can we learn? He knew the scriptures and the prophecies, and he spoke from them. And we would do well to follow his example, knowing those Old Testament prophecies, what they do and don't say. We don't have to prove ourselves ultra clever to people, but we can show people that hundreds of years before the coming of Christ, he was foretold. Also, thanks. In this, he knew that he was in the line of the other prophets and witnesses. He was part of a bigger ongoing plan. And I believe in that sense when he said, "I am the voice of one crying," he actually is in the line of the prophets. And God never does anything except he reveals it through his servants, the prophets, as it says in the book of Nahum. He was in the line. God is always sending people to speak. And you should be in the line. You should be in the line as a witness telling people about the Lord Jesus. And we would benefit, our confidence would grow, if we realise we are in the line of the prophets. We are sent out by the Lord Jesus, commissioned by him to pass on the message of Jesus, to point out Jesus. Thanks, Jim. Also, quite simply, he knew who Jesus was and what Jesus had come to do, and he pointed him out clearly. I think we often struggle, and I know I do, in finding ways to explain who Jesus is and what he came to do. Now, I love it, all right? And if you get people in an Alpha course, it's better than anything, in that together you can look at that question. But we need to say to God, please, God, help me to be a really good communicator, to explain who Jesus is and why he's different from all the other people. He's not the same as John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, I can't even undo his sandals. This man is so great. We need to be able to explain why Jesus is not just any other prophet, is utterly different. Thanks, Jim. Also, he knew what people should do, the other people should do, to prepare a road for Jesus. So soldiers asked him, well, what do we do? And ordinary people asked him, and he was able to say, there is something you can do. He said to people, you can turn back to God. You can change the way you live. You can ask for God's help to do this. He knew that he had a message to pass on. Yes, there is something you can do. You can turn back to God. And we mustn't leave people feeling helpless. We must say, God has thrown you the lifeline. There is something that you actually can do to change. And you can tell them perhaps your story a little bit, how you have actually changed too. Thanks, Jim. What I'm suggesting today is that because John the Baptist was clear about the identity of Jesus, and he was also clear about what the human problem was, that human beings have forgotten God and gone their own way, then he, John, knew who he was and what he was called to do. That's my whole thesis in life, really, is if people know who Jesus is, what the human problem is, then we find our identity and our purpose in Jesus Christ. So although things like job and family and where we live and so are important, they are not the clincher. The really important thing that gives us identity and purpose and stability is our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. All the other things may change. That's what gives us our identity and our worth. And I do know that some of us have great joy in the jobs we do, others of us don't like them. But our identity comes from knowing Jesus. And yes, doing those jobs as well as we possibly can. But it is from our relationship with Jesus. And John was confident and clear in his own identity. How does that relate to us as we finish and as we think in this time? Well, we need to be sure that our confidence, our identity, comes not from fame or success, but actually from our relationship with God. That to discover more of Jesus is, in a sense, a discovery of who I am. Thanks, Jim. You might like to pop the others up, if you put those up. The quote I want to give you comes from John 4:34, the biblical basis, if you like, for what I'm saying about finding identity in our relationship with God and actually our purpose in doing what is pleasing to God. Jesus said this in John 4, verse 34, in trying to explain to the disciples, my food, in the older versions he said, my meat, my food is to obey the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work he gave me to do. Can I paraphrase and say this? my bread and butter is to obey the will of God and to do the work he gives me to do. My daily living, my daily strength, my purpose in life, my meat, my bread and butter, is to obey the will of God, who sends me into the world to finish the work he gives me to do. That is my identity, my purpose. And for you, I know many of you, that is also your identity and purpose. But sometimes so many other things get in the way and clutter that up. Yes, we ask God for companionship, don't we? We ask that he will give us other like-minded people through the church and in friendships, that he will give us the courage, like John, to speak out against those who are going contrary to God's way. Please give me companionship through your people and relationships that will enable me. And God does that. In discovering Jesus, the eternal flame, we discover our identity and our life purpose. What happens to those who do not discover this? They are essentially lost. Each day, trying to discover a purpose, an identity, a reason for existence. And some do that successfully, and others fall apart. But essentially, it is a position of lostness. And I can remember what that was like, even though it's a long time ago now. Let's pray. I'm just going to be still for the moment and seek to respond and not to lose what God has said. So just a moment of stillness and reflection, seeking to listen to God and to pray in what he said to us. So nobody's speaking out at the moment, just stillness and coming to God.